Welcome to the Tax Compass podcast, navigating UK tax for expats with LSR partners. In this episode, we find out a bit more about Simon Ruway's experience as an expat and how LSR partners came to be. So I think in terms of yours and my backgrounds, we came to know each other because you became a client of mine a few years back before we went.
One of the first.
Yes, you were, before we went into business together. But I think it's one of those where I suppose expats in general appreciate the facts or appreciate when other people maybe have similar experiences to them. Sure. And you've got an experience as an expat. So we thought it might be quite sensible to have a bit of a chat about that, about what you found particularly beneficial about being an expat, what you found difficult, etc. So,
yeah, and I guess from our business perspective, it's quite interesting the fact that it was a sort of big coincidence that we ended up being able to work together and form this partnership, which has been a great experience. But yeah, going right the way back, I guess one of the things I found really helpful in terms of our client conversations and the business in general is having been in the shoes of so many of our clients. Given that we focus sort of pretty much exclusively on people who move in and out of the UK. I mean, we do have some sort of standard UK residents, but often they're now residents having previously come in or whatever.
Yeah.
It's always given me, if nothing else, it's a good way of talking to clients about, oh, I've done that part of whatever the process is.
I was going to say, it helped you to bed in quite quickly, actually, in terms of you could, when you were coming in and experiencing it in terms of the technical side, but as the accountant, you were kind of able to link it back to your own experiences.
Yeah, and also there's that element. I look now and I think, you know, I'm so much more familiar, obviously, with UK taxation for individuals, but obviously I also had to be pretty familiar with it, which was a good starting point because I had tax things going on all over the place. And I remember, I think the first, as well as tax returns, you did a bit of advisory work for me about some loans that I had, outstanding some commercial loans, sort of from a personal perspective, which was also really interesting because it gave me the initial position of like soup to nuts, if you will, from tax returns through to advisory and being able to sort of link the whole thing together. So yeah, I mean, I guess just in terms of my background, I became an expat in, 2011.
Yeah.
When I went to Japan, which is an amazing experience. And again, to the point of arrangements changing, I'd originally gone on a 3-year deal. I was expecting only to be outside the UK for 3 years and then to come back. 10 years later, I was still out in Asia. So I did 5 years in Japan working for an investment bank and then 5 years in Singapore. Again, working for the same bank, and then I moved employer actually. And one of the things that I guess, if I look back on the things that I did right and I did wrong, I guess one of the really interesting bits, and we often have clients talk about this, is I went out and the bank organized everything. I was on a full expat deal. They did my tax returns through one of the big four firms, and all that side of it. But when that was switched off, I was suddenly left, oh goodness, I've got to sort it out myself. And there was also the side of it that I had my wife's sort of side of it to take care of too.
How did you find the experience with the big four? Did they cover everything or did they cover?
Look, I think as we often bemoan, it's one of those things where I suppose in any large organization, it can so often depend on who you get. So a couple of things around that. One is that obviously the big four firm, whichever one it is, cares about your employer, not you, because that's where the contract is. And then it's pure chance as to who you get sort of helping your situation. Although I have to say, one of the things that I noticed over the, I think I had support for probably 5 of my 10 years, the standards dropped precipitously over that period of time. And I think, you know, quite why that is, I don't know, but it was also very tough because they just take a one-size-fits-all approach. I have told you the story before I had to go and do a business meeting in New York, and I was in New York for 5 hours, I think, working. And whichever one of the big four it was, wanted me to do a full US tax questionnaire and disclose all of my worldwide assets, income, And it's one of these things where it says, you know, you quite often get these, you know, if you're filling out a survey or whatever, it'll say at the top, it'll say, you have 10 more minutes remaining to fill out this survey. And I remember clicking into it, and it was like, you have 23 hours to do, you know, remaining on this survey at the speed you're going. And I was like, so it's going to take me 23 hours to do the tax return for the 5-hour business meeting I did in New York. And eventually I just sort of said, well, I'm not doing it. Whatever you tell me, I'm not doing it. And I think it turned out, they worked out, I had an $80 tax liability in New York, which they were going to pay anyway, the firm. So it's sort of nothing to do with me.
Oh, it's painful. So how did you find kind of, I suppose, the initial aspects of being an expat and kind of leaving the UK, the cultural changes?
I think... So one of the things that really interested me when, so the backstory to why we moved to Japan was that I had been out to Asia on a business trip and I'd spent some time in Tokyo, which is an amazing place everyone should visit. And I sort of came back and was speaking to my boss about like, oh, there's huge opportunities in Japan and blah, 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 just sort of, you know, sort of telling him about my business trip. And then things happened and 4 months later, I was called into his office and it's like, how do you feel about going and running capital markets in Japan? And then I sort of, you know, it was difficult. We had, our kids were 4 and 6 at the time. And a lot of our friends were like, you know, the kids will really struggle and it'll all be really difficult. And my goodness, you're going to Japan. Why don't you go to Hong Kong instead? And all this sort of stuff. But what we found, and I think this is a really good point for, and I quite often get asked this by clients, is kids are really resilient and really good at adapting because they live in the here and now. They don't spend their time thinking about, you know, what's coming next and what are the implications and all the rest of it. And they went to a British school and completely fitted in. And then that really helped us sort of settle in because Japan is a very different place. And obviously the cultural side of it was different. It's not, you know, having then spent time in Singapore, like Singapore is very, very westernized, as is Hong Kong, but Japan really isn't. But yeah, it was the thing mostly was that whole thing of, it's amazing how many people really struggle with the idea of moving overseas. But actually when you do it, it's great fun. You have to embrace it. But, you know, it's not like you're moving to a different planet. You know, you can still be in touch with the UK and all the rest of it. It's an amazing, amazing thing to do.
Yep. Have to get Naz in to do the other side, the spouse viewpoint. So, and then I suppose obviously you were out for 10 years, was it?
Yeah.
And then you came back to the UK. How did you find that? Obviously, in your instance, it was, I suppose, slightly unexpected in terms of the way that you repatriated.
That was the hardest bit of the whole thing, actually. Because when you come to the end of a journey overseas or whatever, and it's time to come back, we ultimately came back because the kids wanted to go to school back in the UK. They felt in the same way that they have got huge benefits in terms of their outlook on life, and like, you know, our eldest went off to New Zealand for his gap year and didn't bat an eyelid about being the opposite side of the world from his family, whereas others who went with him really, really struggled having never been outside the UK.
Yeah.
The flip side was they both felt that they had sort of, to some extent, missed out on a sort of what you might think of as a standard English upbringing. And I think, as with most people want to experience the thing that they haven't experienced.
Grass is always greener.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? And I guess the thing that was most difficult for us was we planned to come back for the kids to go to school. COVID sort of intervened. I ended up being stuck back here. I know Naz she found it very hard because she wasn't able to sort of say goodbye to people. And it's a very small thing compared to some of the awful things that happened to people during COVID. But it is that whole thing that, like, when you close a chapter, you want to close it properly. And it was, we had an apartment in Singapore that sat empty for like nearly 2 years. Because we weren't sure whether we were coming or going or whatever. And that always makes it hard in terms of the sort of organizational side of it. And also the mental side of saying, no, we're back in the UK and we're going to stick to the UK.
Yeah.
That whole thing of it just being different in that sense was quite hard.
And obviously because your repatriation was unexpected and it happened sooner than you were anticipating because of your circumstances. Like, I suppose, is there any planning that maybe you wish you had done in terms of maybe tax points that maybe might arise or have
yeah, arisen? On the tax side, I mean, just to sort of flesh it out for people in terms of how our relationship started, I was essentially lost the support of whichever big four firm it was. We had a property that we kept and we were renting out. I'd done the classic thing that a lot of people do, which is to not really think about disclosing residency myself, even though it had been being done for me.
Yeah.
And then you get into the whole problem of, well, I can't do it through my government gateway because that doesn't allow non-residents to do tax returns. So it's like, well, I don't really want to have to pay for my own software. So I actually found you through Experts for Expats, where a lot of our clients still find us. And looking back on it, I think one of the... So I was given a tax departure thing when I left because I was on an expat thing. I think the one thing around tax that I realised, and even though I'm a chartered accountant and I had to do a load of tax exams, you sort of forget all the intricacies of it, and not keeping sort of up to speed and au fait with the various different bits and pieces in terms of rules was something I would... ideally would have done better. I think in terms of coming back, all of those things still applied. I think one of the things that I just didn't really think about at all was the whole sort of residency gains, all that side of it. Because you get into the habit, like in Singapore, it's just like there is no capital gains tax. So you just don't think about it. And if like I had a share portfolio and it's like you just don't think about, oh, I'm going to sell some shares. And suddenly coming back into the UK, you've got to think, oh, goodness, like everything I do is going to have some sort of tax implication. So I need to be really careful about it. And then the final bit, I guess, is some of the stuff around reporting requirements with banks and financial institutions when you move. Those things are becoming quite onerous now, like all this information sharing stuff, which is really ramped up. And like, you know, we've talked in the past about the fact that HMRC are really up on foreign income and gain investigations. It's one of their favourite areas to look at. And whilst I haven't been investigated by HMRC on that front, thank goodness, it is something to be mindful of. Because I think, you know, as we've been talking about all of the other aspects that have recently changed in the budget, it is quite a big change for people. And there is this confusion often that people don't really realise this whole, if you're resident, everything's to play for. People often have this thought that, like, for US citizens, they get taxed by America wherever they are, but no one else is like that.
Yeah, the other thing that you get is the whole, there's a double tax treaty, and because there's a double tax treaty, it means I'm paying tax in this country, not in the UK.
Yeah.
Well, that's not necessarily the case. The whole idea of a double tax treaty is to prevent double taxation, but it doesn't prevent both countries from potentially taxing you on certain types of income.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. Anything else that you can think of in terms of that would be useful to know?
No, I think just sort of squaring the circle completely in terms of what then happened. So I came back in with the family in July 2020, ended up staying here. As we know, it was sort of coincidence that we happened to have bought a house 5 miles from your house. And then sort of LSR Partners happened, over a year ago now. But yeah, I think it's, I like the fact that I've enjoyed going back to the technical aspects of being an accountant and focusing on the tax side. Back in another life, many, many, many years ago, I was a proper technical accountant when they were first introducing international financial reporting standards. And I've always enjoyed that really technical aspect of anything of that nature. But I also have liked the fact that, you know, this job is often about being very empathetic because you know what it's like. Clients ring up and often it's like, I know I've been needing to deal with this. I've been sweeping it under the carpet. I really can't sweep it under the carpet any longer. I'm a bit worried. And when you can say to them, look, it's happened to me. Well, I have been investigated by HMRC like 25 years ago. And that element of being able to empathize with clients, you know, often people, you know, it's that whole thing, isn't it? Of like, there's only two certainties in life, death and taxes. And often you start that conversation with people on the basis that tax, it's just unpleasant on every level. But if we can do a good job of making people feel that at least they're in safe hands, they're working with exceptionally competent people who know how the rules work, and that therefore they it's one less thing for them to worry about.
Yeah.
And it's been really good for me, because when I first started working with you, I think you started doing my wife's tax returns before you did mine. It's just one less thing to worry about. And you know, one of the points about being an expat is that there's just more stuff you have to think about. Because especially if you're keeping some element of a life going in the UK. And like for us to start with, it was just like, oh, we're renting out our house. What are all the implications around that? And, you know, non-resident landlord registration, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's given me a really good insight from sort of both sides of the aisle, if you like.
Yeah, which makes perfect sense. I think as well, it's a personal service. I mean, obviously, to an extent, you're limited up until you move to 5 miles down the road from me. We never physically were in a room together, but to be able to pick up the phone or get on a Teams call and just to be able to see a person, to hear a person, yeah, because it can be quite a lonely life being an expat. I mean, you probably adjusted by the time you've been out there for 10 years.
It's always nice to have that connection back with the old country, as they say.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I think that we can deliver so much better than so many other firms, is that we have a really good combination of experiences between what you've done in your career and what I've done in mine. And I think, again, to that point, I had a client say to me the other day, he said, oh, are you going to be my point person going forward, or am I going to have to be speaking to somebody else? And it's always nice to be able to say, no, I'm always on the end of the phone, and you're not going to get, you know, it's not going to be a call center, press 2 to speak to, you know, a robot or whatever. Yeah. And that is going to be something that we always will aspire to maintain, I think, because... Yeah. Ultimately, you don't want to be, when you're dealing with personal issues around tax, and like, you know, we have a lot of very wealthy clients who are often talking to us about large amounts of money, where by nature it's highly confidential. They want to know that they're speaking to professional people who take it seriously. And whilst they'll always understand that, yeah, we have a team of people doing different functions and all the rest of it, and that will grow over time, it's so important, I think, to be able to maintain the accessibility.
Yeah.
For clients, and both of us have always talked about the fact that, you know, ultimately the reason I ended up moving out of investment banking was because I ended up, it's one of those weird things, that the more senior you get, the more of a managerial job you have and the less client focused you are, and ultimately managing is just about sorting out problems, and it becomes quite a depressing place to be, because it's like, it's another day of sorting out problems. And then what have I achieved? Well, I've been busy for 12 hours, but I don't really feel I've done anything. I've just sorted out problems.
Yeah.
And being back into a world of, I can speak to a client. You know, when I dropped that email to our client last week about the remittance basis situation,
yeah.
I mean, he was just so grateful that it's like, it's another problem he doesn't have to solve. We've solved it for him. And we know that come next year, the thing he'll remember when it comes to tax returns and all the rest of it is, we got him out of potentially a 30,000 quid hole.
Yeah.
And that's hugely satisfying. And making sure that we maintain that, I think, is going to be super important as we go forward.
Thanks for listening to the Tax Compass podcast, brought to you by LSR Partners, where we help you pay the right tax in the right place at the right time. Book a call with us. Details are in the show notes.